If you've got a Bible with you, why don't you turn to Matthew chapter number 24, and we'll read a text here and then let you be seated. Matthew chapter number 24 and verse number 36 is where we will begin. If you've got that, why don't you say praise the Lord. But of that day an hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding in the mill, the one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be you also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. For then is a faithful and wise, or who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants to eat and to drink with the drunken, the Lord of the servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and an hour that he was not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so for a little while this morning, I want to preach to you from a thought of rewards and consequences. Rewards and consequences. So before you're seated, why don't you pray one more time, ask God to help you, to touch your heart and mind, to hear, to receive, to be changed, to be challenged, whatever the Lord needs for us to experience today. God, let your word find its perfect mark. We thank you, we praise you, we love you, we exalt you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. There is a parable of sort, I guess, if you want to call it that way, that says there was a pig. He ate his fill of acorns under an oak tree and then started to root around that tree. And a crow remarked, you should not do this. If you lay bare the roots, the tree will wither and die. To which the pig replied, let it die. Who cares as long as there are acorns? And so the pig displays that element of some people's perception of how to live life, in that they only live for the day instead of living for the day maker. Amen. Is if you start only living for the day instead of living for the day maker or our precious Lord, it's that you'll begin to destroy the very things that are supposed to produce blessing in your life. When you get so caught up with the right now, you become blind to realities that are just beyond. Great difference between living for what affects me right now and what will affect me in the future. And there's either going to be reward or consequence from it. There's a story in 1 Kings chapter number 2 where a man named Shimei is granted extreme grace by King Solomon. And Shimei was a man that had, he really deserved to die, because when King David was fleeing the city, Shimei began to pick up rocks. And not only did he hurl the rocks at David, he also hurled insults and accusations, and he really was performing treasonous acts worthy of death. And the men around David said, let us go take that dog's head off. And David said, no, don't touch him. Well, David does come back to the throne, and Shimei comes back with hat in hand, begging for his life. And David, he didn't have to give him mercy, but David gave him mercy. And then he charged his son Solomon that Solomon would make sure Shimei got what Shimei deserved. Solomon also extends the mercy into Shimei's world by saying, here's the deal. I'm going to let you live in Jerusalem. I know you don't live here now, but you got to sell everything you got if you need to and build yourself a house right here in the city of peace, in God's holy place, and you can't leave because the day your foot steps outside the walls, you're going to die. Shimei said, that sounds like a really good deal to me because I'm a dead man walking as it is right now. Well, lo and behold, Shimei, he lives up to his end of the bargain, but about 3 years go by, and two of his servants decide to tail out of there, and he begins to pursue them. He finds them and brings them home, thinking nothing of it, but lo and behold, King Solomon hears about what Shimei did, and Shimei brings him back in before court and says, do you not remember that the consequence of you losing or leaving Jerusalem meant your own death? And to which Shimei had no response, but Solomon had the response of kill the man. Now this was a serious consequence, but it was a serious charge. And yet in the middle of it all, you find there's serious grace and serious mercy given by nothing other than just some men. And I believe our God is rich in mercy and grace beyond anything we've ever experienced from another person. But I believe that consequence, if we neglect the grace and mercy, is far greater than just death. In Matthew chapter 7, Brother Marks, I want you to read for me because this will help maybe keep some attention, some longer readings. Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 21, if you want to turn there, great. If not, watch the overhead wall as we begin to go through this passage where it says, not everyone, go ahead, read.
Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven.
Just because you cry out or just because you call a master does not mean that's enough. Jesus said you've got to do the will of the Father. Next verse.
Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto
them. He said, but Lord, wait a second. We were very religious. We did a whole lot of good stuff. We were reflecting or looking as if that we were one of those that should get reward. What's the deal? Right. 23.
And then will I profess unto them, and never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.
I didn't know you. Get out of my sight. Right. Keep reading.
Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock.
So this text is leading up to this understanding. If you go back, read Matthew 5, 6, 7, you find all these things that Jesus begins to expound on. Prayer, fasting, giving, mention of oath, adultery, all these things, murder, hate, all these things are encapsulated and comes down to the crux of the ending salvo of 24. Mm-hmm. If you hear and do, I'm going to liken you to a wise man.
Right.
You're like a guy that built his house upon the rock, but verse 25 or 26, go ahead, 25 says, the rain descended.
And the floods came and the winds blew.
Winds blew.
And beat upon that house, and it fell not.
Your house is going to take a beating.
Yes.
Can anybody say praise the Lord?
Right.
But it did what? It fell?
It fell not, for it was founded upon a rock.
It was founded upon a rock. Now this is juxtaposed to verse 26 where it says,
and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand.
So to hear and not do is equivalent to being foolish. Mm. It's like someone that built a house, but when they built it upon an unstable foundation.
Right, right.
Keep reading for us.
And the rain descended and the floods came.
Rain came.
And the winds blew and beat upon that house.
Same beating came.
And it fell, and great was the fall of it.
Not only did it fall, the fall was great. To hear and not do, it is foolish. It's if you will, likened unto the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, in that Adam and Eve knew better, but knowing and doing is very different than just knowing and not doing. Somebody once said that unpracticed truth is no better than error. And so we always hear the phrase that knowledge is power. But that in of itself is not accurate. Knowledge that's acted upon is power.
Yes.
You can know you need to get up and go to work. You can know you need to go up and clean this. You can know you need to be a good parent. You can know you need to be whatever. But unless you do it, it doesn't matter how much you know it.
Right, right.
Try as you might. Trying to think the dirty dishes in the sink clean. You can think and think and think, but they will stay in the sink. You got to get up and you got to clean those things. There are people that know how to live for God, but yet they've decided not to do what they know. Jesus said, I'm likening you to a foolish person. That although you heard, you did not act upon what you heard. The world is filled with kids that have gone to Sunday school and have heard incredible stories by great teachers. And some of them have decided to obey what the Bible said. And others have cast it off of, well, I know what's right and that's all that matters. But the Lord is trying to let us know that there is rewards for those that do and do it right.
Yes, sir.
There is consequence for those that know but decide not to do anything about it.
Right.
Proverbs 24 and 3.
Through wisdom is a house builded.
A house is builded through wisdom. Wisdom is knowing what to do.
By understanding, it is established.
By understanding, it is established. Understanding is the knowing of why and when.
Right, right.
Verse 4 says, through knowledge
shall the chambers be filled with precious and pleasant riches.
Every precious and pleasant riches. So knowledge is knowing how. There are people that know what, but not doing anything about it. There's people that know how, but not doing anything with it. And if you don't act upon the wisdom and the knowledge that God gives, you'll never have understanding. Seeing the end result.
Right.
Seeing the end result. So it's through wisdom that a house is built. It is to stand upright. That word established means to stand upright. It stands upright through understanding. If you don't pay your electric bill, they shut it off. If you don't bathe regularly, your friends will shut you off. There's reward if you do it because you know. And there is consequence if you don't do it, but you do know. And even if you don't know, they say that ignorance is no excuse of the law. So I'm asking today, I know it's a little slower this morning. It's going to be probably a little more teachy. But what kind of house are you building? It may be amazing to all those that would pass by. May even win the parade of homes, as it were, in the neighborhood. It might floor everybody that goes by and they're mesmerized by the skill and the craftsmanship and the detail here and there. But time will tell. Hear me this morning. Time will tell if your house will stand the storm.
Right.
Jesus said the storm is going to come from above. It's going to come from below. It's going to come from all sides. You got rain, you got floods, you got winds, and your house is going to take a beating. It's just part of going through life that bad things happen to good people, good things happen to bad people. Time and chance happens to us all. If you're going to live in this world, you're going to face some trouble and some heartaches, but the difference of whether or not your house falls or stands is dependent upon what kind of foundation you have. And Jesus said, foundation is connected to hearing and doing.
Oh, Jesus.
It's interesting that we only change when we realize change is better off than to remain the same way we currently are. If you always do what you've always done, you'll always have what you always had. Old, old saying. And you know, those of us that have paid attention going through life, we've seen the people that don't like pain, and don't like storms, to the point that they're trying to live in some kind of quasi-travel trailer. If you're living in a travel trailer or something like that, it's not a dig at that, but it's the understanding that Jesus is talking about the wise man built his house on the rock, the foolish man built it upon the sand, but people want to live in travel trailers so that when the storm comes, when the weatherman says, hey, get ready, there's some trouble coming your way, they hook the truck up to the hitch and pull out of town. Now, in reality, practical terms, that makes a lot of sense. If you got the ability to move your house, my goodness, move your house. Romans 5 and 1.
Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation.
Whoa, it says what?
Tribulation.
It says it on the wall. It says it on your paper. It says it in my Bible. It says it in your Bible. We glory in tribulation.
Right. Also knowing that tribulation.
Hold on a second. We glory in tribulation. Tribulation is pressure. It is problem. And Paul says we glory in that.
Right.
I'm talking about the difference of being in a rooted and grounded house and a spiritual travel trailer. So we glory in tribulations. Why?
Also knowing that tribulation worketh patience.
Because tribulation works patience. It brings, it develops patience, endurance.
Right.
Any of you like to work out? Some are distinctly shaking their head no. Don't worry, the rest of us could tell. Just kidding. Take that off the tape, sister. I'm sorry about that. Working out involves resistance. It requires an exertion that pushes muscles to a maximum. It is a literal tearing of fiber and all the other medical things that are going on that who knows why, but it leaves you kind of sore. But as that body begins to reheal, it begins to get stronger from it.
Right.
As try as you might want to go to the gym and start ripping off 100-pound curls with one hand, you may not even pick it up off the rack. And if you do, you'll throw your back out as it instantly goes to the floor. It's a process of building up to it. It's a growing resistance that comes from tribulation. Paul says, I glory in them because it works patience. And what does patience do, Brother Marks?
Patience experience and experience hope.
Patience brings experience.
Right.
That word in Greek is maybe better understood as it tried character, proven character, experience. Live for God long enough to know that even though I don't feel God, it doesn't mean God is absent. Live for God long enough to know that even though I'm going through things, it doesn't mean God's abandoning me. I've begun to experience that the silence of God is just God letting me begin to grow in faith.
Right, right.
Because life will bring something else down the road that my faith is going to have to be bigger to get through.
Oh, Jesus.
It's akin to a child as they grow and develop. When a baby is born, I noticed, Brother Chris, that when Denia was born, you didn't expect her to do the things that Christian or Dekiah was doing. You didn't request of her the same. There was a process of development. I'm thankful that God is patient with the process of us getting patience, which produces character. We are living in a world that's devoid of character because people back out of the patient, the endurance. They hook up their travel trailer and they drive out of town when problem shows up. But Paul says that patience brings experience. Experience brings hope. Oh, it brings hope. It's what we all want more of.
Yes.
Verse 5 says, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us.
Yes, yes, yes.
Now think about this verse in the reverse opposite. When you run from trials or problems, you never gain endurance. And when you have no endurance, you will have no character. And without character, you will have no hope. And without hope, you'll be disgraced or ashamed or suffer repulse. You see, part of our salvation, it depends on how well we do with waiting. Depends on how well we do with going through storms and things that I didn't really sign up for. But understanding that there is a reward for those that go through it and never let go of Him in the process.
Jesus.
And there is a consequence for those that let go of the Master's hand and grab a hold of something else. But I am thankful that He is an ever-present help in time of trouble. Oh, thank
yes,
you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Paul said, we glory in tribulations. It's not just Paul's philosophy or theology. James chapter 1 and verse 2. Do you have that verse, brother?
Yes. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall.
Count it all joy.
Yes, when you fall into diverse temptations.
Count it all joy. Paul said, we glory in tribulation. And James says, I rejoice when things come my way that I wish wouldn't come my way.
Yeah.
Why? Verse 3.
Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience.
It works patience.
But let patience.
Let patience have its perfect work. Come on, read for me.
That ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing.
If you don't line up to what you're supposed to be, everybody raise your hand. God's got a good program going on for you today. If you'll just keep yourself in the middle of the will of God and keep loving Him and keep reaching and keep working and keep staying faithful, if you'll be in the house of God, if you'll develop a prayer life, if you'll come out of darkness and cast off the works of iniquity, oh, thank you, Lord, you can get some patience,
yes, hallelujah,
some enduring, some stick-to-itiveness. Hallelujah. Paul said tribulations, and James said temptations. Both are meant to bring endurance, and neither one were meant to destroy you, but both were meant to grow you. in our text, Matthew 24 and verse 48, we read where Jesus said that the evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. The evil servant says in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. Not only does he say that he's not coming back like I thought he would, on the time I thought he would, because he loses the expectation and a sense of urgency. What we need is a sense of urgency to get a hold of us in 2019. Yes. 2,000 round years or so since the Lord said, I'm coming quickly, and here we are, and he hasn't came yet. Don't let it erase your urgency about you, because when you lose your urgency, you'll lose your hope. When you lose your hope, you'll throw it all aside, and the next thing you'll begin to do is what Jesus said. He begins to smite his fellow servant. And then he begins to eat and drink with the drunken. I know this doesn't encapsulate all the reasons why, but I think it's at least the big three of why people would backslide is because bitterness. You know, if God would have already came back, you wouldn't have gone through the things you've gone through. He must not love me. There's bitterness that can come from God, and obviously there's bitterness that come from people to people. I can't believe they treated me that way. Yeah. Do they not know who I am? And yet we treat God wrong all the time. And he didn't do anything to deserve it. And a lot of times when people do us wrong, it's because we gave them a reason.
Come on.
Well, you may be seated. So bitterness can do it. Getting busy with doing things for God instead of with God.
Oh, come on.
You can't always confuse busyness with productiveness. You can work yourself silly and not accomplish anything. I'm here to testify this morning. I used to work for myself. I know all about being busy and not having a nickel to show for it at the end of the day. And when I finally caught revelation about, hey, you know what? Just because I'm gone from the house doesn't mean I'm making any money for my family. I started making my ways away from the home a lot more financially productive. Boy, it's quiet this morning.
It's good. Come on.
And the third thing besides bitterness and busyness, I think, is boredom. Let that soak in while I take the chap off my lips. Boredom. He delays his coming. That means I got time to do things that I want to do. That means the glorious zeal that I once had when I felt my sins forgiven and washed away in Jesus' name. The joy of feeling the rush of God's Spirit breathe life back into my soul when I got the Holy Ghost. Because he took longer than I thought, or longer than I was prepared for. I begin to get bored with the glory. Bored with the revelation that come from a relationship. My Lord delayeth his coming. And church became boring if we weren't swinging from the chandelier, which we pulled down one day. Not because of worship, we just pulled it down. But when church stopped being important and valuable and their walk with God was everything to him because he was everything, things begin to get picked up. Attitudes begin to change. Other things begin to come along the path. The travel trailer is hooked up and it's drove off to another place. Somebody once said you need to watch your thoughts because thoughts become words. Watch your words, because words become actions. And watch your actions, because they become habits. And watch your habits, because they become character. Character is everything.
Yes.
Character is everything. What time do we normally get out on Sunday mornings?
11 something.
Anybody normally know what time we get out of church?
No.
Did someone say 11 o'clock? You had more boldness to say that than someone did say preach, so. Now, think about, I'm going to hit a rabbit trail, sort of. Think about the consequence of focus. Okay, Job, in Job 3:25, he said, "The thing which I feared has come upon me." Mm-hmm. Now, this is after he's lost it all. He's lost his business, if you will. He's lost his wealth. He's lost his kids. He's lost his health. And in some regard, I guess he lost his wife's faith in God, because she said, "Curse him and die." He's lost it all. He even kind of lost his friends. They're sitting there with him, and they're telling him how much of a rank sinner he's got to be. "Has all this stuff happened to you? What did you do wrong, man?" He's lost it all. And so when he says, "The thing which I feared has come upon me," I think there's a lot of truth in that that's applicable for the things of life, in that it shows us Job had a fear of losing it all. And the thing that he most focused on began to show the devil the places to really attack. You see, sometimes the devil doesn't always attack by taking things away. Sometimes he can attack by giving things to. Yeah. Opening doors that you shouldn't walk through. Providing means and ways that you don't need to be a part of, because it looks like favor. But don't ever let a blessing become a tragedy in your world. Because if it did, it wasn't from God. Because the blessings of the Lord, they maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. Job is panicked beyond belief at some level. He's going to lose it all. He's going to lose it all. And here he is. His focus on that is what brings him, I think, to a great place of despair. And that there are people that go through life who begin to focus on the thing they fear the most. And when you do that, hear me, when you begin to focus on the thing you fear the most, you begin to mirror it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you focus on things you don't like, it becomes more pronounced. It works with good things and bad things. Anybody begin to like a certain kind of car, for instance? And the more that you like that car, the more while you're driving around, you begin to see that car. As if everybody's buying one all of a sudden. It's not that there's any more cars out that there were the day before. It's just your focus begin to pick up on. And everywhere you look, you see the thing that your focus is upon. I know somebody who has expressed to me in the past, been a many-year development of sort, that there was somebody that they just... This is a harsh word, but I think it's fair that they despised this person. They were so obsessed of not wanting to be like them or have anything to do with them that the smallest thing about the person they just could not stand. They didn't like how they worked. They didn't like how they ate. They didn't like how they lived. They didn't like how they dressed. They were just disgusted. And as they complained and griped more and more about the person, the more and more they began to mirror image that person. Because what you focus on, it does affect you.
That's right.
The answer is not to focus on what you don't want to be or don't want to happen or don't want to have, But the answer is to focus on what you do want to be, what you do want to have, and what you do want in your life. Hebrews 12 and 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We got to get our eyes off the things in this world, and we got to get our eyes back heavenward upon the one we want to be more like.
Right.
Thank you, Lord. 2 Corinthians 3 and 18, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Paul said, we're looking into the mirror and we're looking at Jesus. And the more I focus on Him, the more I begin to be like, look like, sound like, act like. And He's the one that holds the rewards, and He's the one I want to be more like, and less like the world, and less like my trouble, and less like my problem. So I'm getting my focus on Him and getting it off the things in life, because there's rewards and there's consequences. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to land this thing this morning. Matthew chapter number 25.
Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps.
The 5 foolish have got something to burn, or they got something to hold what to burn, but nothing inside to burn.
Right.
The 5 wise have got both. They've got oil, and they've got a lamp to burn it with. Verse 5.
While the bridegroom tarried, they
There's
all...
that word, he waited.
Tarried.
This process of waiting, we hate it. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Keep reading.
And at midnight, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go you out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you.
They were very wise.
Yes. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went out to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut.
Uh-huh.
Afterward came also the other virgins.
The other ones showed up later.
Saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily, I say unto you, I know you not.
There it is again, I don't know you.
Watch therefore, for you neither know the day nor the hour.
You don't know the day.
Wherein the Son of Man cometh.
You don't know the hour, but there's rewards and consequences.
Jesus.
There's rewards and consequences. Matthew 24 said that when he comes and he finds you doing, you're going to get reward. But when he comes and finds you not doing, there will be consequences. These 10 virgins, I believe they represent the potential of the bride and the church.
Right.
The potential. Everybody else not part of the virgins were not a part of the church. The 5 wise were watching. They were ready. They had expectation of the groom arrival, and it motivated them to ensure oil was on hand. It made no difference to them when it came. He said he's coming, and I'm going to stick with it to the end. Their desire to meet him made them wise, because what if he comes at night? Well, we're going to have oil on hand just in case he does.
Yes, yes.
Watch when the 5 foolish said, why don't you give us some of yours? They said, I'm willing to share my faith with everyone, but I am not willing to give my faith to anyone.
Jesus.
The 5 foolish were disinterested. Musicians, come help me. When or if the groom comes, he better come on my time.
Oh God.
They assumed that they could just borrow from others. I'll just borrow for someone else's desire to be saved. I'll just borrow for someone else's walk with God. No. It don't work that way. Everybody's going to be rewarded based upon what they did, and everybody's going to get consequences based upon what they did.
Yeah.
Anybody remember a time when your mom and dad was leaving home and they told you, we're going to go to town or whatever and we're going to come back. But before we get back, your room better be picked up. Anybody remember those moments? There's two groups that respond to that story. Yeah. There's those that dutifully go and they take care of business just in case mom and dad get home soon. And there's those that, well, I'll heal the car coming down the road. I got a high bed and an empty closet. I can pick it all up. I just need to hear the sound of the garage door. For some of you, maybe I just need to hear the clip-clop of the horse's hooves coming down the road. I just need a little warning. Yeah. As nice as it would be that there would be a warm-up of the trumpet, this is all the warning we all get. Service after service. Whisper of God after whisper of God. Personal prick convictions after personal prick convictions. Now, Brother Marks, I got news for you. I don't care if you're in that chair or not. I'm fixing to hit that chair with this belt. He knew it was coming, and he did something about it. Now, I don't care where you're at, Brother Marks, but I'm going to hand who's ever sitting in that chair $10. Why is it so easy for the practical things, and yet it's so hard sometimes for the things that matter the most? Stand with me. I'll tell you why. The problem isn't with God. The problem's not with His Word. And the problem ain't with the preacher. The problem always comes down to whether or not we believe in reward and consequence. Help us this morning, Jesus. Help us this morning, Jesus. Help us this morning, Jesus. There's reward and there's consequence. There's reward and there's consequence. And He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You'll never experience the joy you want until you experience the altar you need. I don't know how else to end this morning other than just to tell somebody you need to listen to what God's telling you today. If you've been hearing things you're supposed to do and you're not doing them, you're no better off than somebody that's never heard. Oh, precious God. Oh, precious God. It's heavy in this house this morning, but that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Why don't we all begin to reach out and begin to talk to Him this morning?